This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Well, good afternoon, Melbourne. You're on Joy 94.9, and that indeed is the intro track for Cravings, the food, wine, and everything else show that normally is hosted by the inimitable Mr. Pete Dillon, who is travelling as we speak. So today you've got the Escape Pod team, which of course consists of Mr. Russ Masterton.
I'm hungry.
Mark Adams.
It's the Crave Pod.
And Joe Pryor. So, gentlemen, welcome to Cravings.
Thank you, Joe.
Big hello to everybody out there on a stunning Melbourne day. I mean, who says that Melbourne can't deliver when it comes to weather?
Well,
what have we had this week?
I took my beautiful dog, Gwenny, for a walk this morning, and I have to say, Mother Nature has turned it on for us today. We couldn't leave the park. We're having so much fun down there. She was catching balls, and there are lots of fun things to do down there. I had to take 100 photos of her, post her on Facebook. It was all happening. It was all happening this morning in this gorgeous Melbourne day.
Beware Instagram. Yes.
I haven't quite got there yet, Mark. I need you to teach me about Instagram.
Oh, it's basically a video log of meals.
It's food porn.
Yeah, all right.
That's what it is.
I must get myself up to date with that.
Yeah. Absolutely. And in the Cravings studio today, we have our special guest, Mr. Samuel Crum. Samuel, welcome to Cravings.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, team.
Now, Sam, you're from Melbourne, but you're from Melbourne via London, via Berlin, via Paris, via Cairo, back to Melbourne again. And you're an opera agent. And Obviously, opera agents get to entertain and wine and dine.
Yes, and all over the place.
Yeah, so that absolutely. What was your favourite wining and dining place of last year?
Of 2015, wonderful trip to Switzerland.
Tell.
Raclette. Mm-hmm. And first time I'd got to spend more than 14 consecutive hours there.
Now, Switzerland isn't a nation known for their food, if it's not chocolate.
No.
Or those little gold bars that get wrapped up as
that's what goes into little Swiss bank accounts, Mark.
No, I mean, it's each city does read like, you know, bank, watch shop, chocolatier, bank, you know, watch shop, you know.
Cliche.
Ad nauseum. Mm. But they have three or four dishes that they do just phenomenally.
So what was your first impression of Swiss food?
Limited. But what was there was sensational. And the best aspects of the countries that dominate its culture, German, French, and Italian in the south. Mm. So you hear the best aspects of German food you'll get in the east and fantastic sides of French food in the west. Mm. With a few individual dishes that you won't get in any other country. The rösti.
Well, do tell.
It's the Gucci of potato pancakes. And I'd be telling you all a lie if we didn't have it every time we went into a restaurant.
People order bread rolls, but you order rösti.
Yeah.
Right. Describe your first rösti experience.
We just had to stop for a second and appreciate it. And
so describe the dish and what was it about it that really blew your mind?
It's a potato pancake, but it's not bound together with flour and egg and muck. It manages
to be
light.
It's not a McDonald's hash brown.
It is not a McDonald's hash brown. And I did actually call the waitress over and say, is it always like this? Or is this one an accident that's just divine? And they have the fondue, which, you know, I'm sorry to say, you have to have. It's actually law. when you go to Switzerland as a tourist, and now you will be having the fondue.
So which, because there's a few different versions of how the fondue is done. Did you have the meat? Did you have the cheese?
We did the cheese.
Right.
Which is all about whatever local cheese they do best, the wine in the area.
So instead of adding kirsch, they add a different wine to it.
And that, I gather, is what made each of them different.
Okay. Yeah, it's the schnapps.
So it actually wasn't the fact that they'd rummaged through their kitchen cupboard and got their 1960s wedding present out.
Yeah, and filled it with American cheese slices, squares of cheese.
Come on, who doesn't have a fondue kit in their kitchen?
Well, who hasn't?
I had until recently.
Found that those fondue sticks are just wonderful when they make their way to the bar. They're very, very good for bar accessories.
Absolutely.
But what was your favourite fondue? Where, which region, really?
Bern.
Bern.
Why is that?
It intersects a number of regions, so you have a lot of choice.
It's there. The junction.
And it's sort of exactly where the German part of Switzerland stops being the German part. You start to get into the French area. Mm-hmm. You go a little... I mean, the country's the size of a postage stamp anyway. And you go a little further south and you're in the Italian section. Mm. So you're just close enough to everywhere. But I must say, after 2 days, we had our fill of Swiss food and did have to ask our maitre, concierge in the hotel, is there a good Italian restaurant in this
town? I thought you were going to say something vegetarian that you might have needed to go for.
They don't seem to acknowledge vegetarianism in Switzerland.
No, or Thai food. Or vegan.
Isn't Bern the town where there's lots of little statues of cows everywhere? Is my memory right with that?
You get more bears.
More bears, okay. More Bern, I must go.
Bär and Bern, same sort of word. And there's an exquisite bear park.
Oh, cool.
We can go. They were asleep. Yes. We were there. Well, as in hibernating asleep.
The Canton flag of Bern is a bear.
Is a bear.
Ah, okay.
I don't think they actually had bears there. I think it was just some promiscuous, horny man.
Yeah.
Well, let it be me then, Mark. Thank you. Thank you. I must get to Bern. More food, Joe. More food.
You might have the keys to the city and you didn't know it, Russ.
Oh. Yeah. Rushdie. Chocolate pornography. I have no other word for it. It's just, you name it, they've got it, they've covered it in chocolate.
Oh, God, I need to go. I've been trying for years to, you know, thin up for my 50th birthday, but chocolate has been my trap.
Switzerland's probably not a great place for you. Do you like potatoes and chocolate?
Well, we flew through Switzerland on our way to
Zurich Airport.
Yes, yes.
Which is probably one of the most lovely airports in the world.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, chuffed into the lounge, as one does, and there was chocolate everywhere. There was a chocolate fountain thing happening, and, you know, I couldn't speak German at the time. But
did you become Han Solo in chocolate?
Oh, I did. I did.
I think you became Hans Solo.
There was a final call for our flight, and I had to get on with, you know, chocolate all over my teeth.
I heard it was a chocolate.
I love your chocolate.
There's possibly actually already a German word for that.
Schokolade Schadenfreude, I think it's called.
Ja.
Well, I'm so pleased we've covered Switzerland in such a short time.
We have. We've done a good job with it.
It's the nice thing about Switzerland is you can.
You know, Sam, I love the way you're so passionate. You really passionately can talk about food. I obviously a travel agent, so I talk about travel passionately. But I just listening to you, then I really feel as though I've got to go out and get myself a Rushdie and experience what you've experienced there. What other places in the world would you recommend foodies to go to?
I think the first religious experience I had with food was Italy.
Are you talking about eating wafers in a...
No.
Church?
Body of Christ?
No.
You weren't just eating
drink
wafers.
Drink my blood.
Were you eating wafers in the Vatican City again?
I think if someone gave me a wafer in the Vatican City, I'd probably be struck by lightning.
Well, that's right. I was wondering how you actually snuck in.
Yeah. I've not been to the Vatican.
Mind you, the guards are so beautifully dressed.
Once again, we go back to the Swiss.
Yes.
In their
pantalons. Indeed.
You're on Joy 94.9. We'd love to hear your food experiences if you've been to Switzerland or some of these other exciting places Sam's going to talk about during Cravings today. Let us know. You can SMS us on 0427 Joy 949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
I want to I'm Heston Blumenthal. You're with Pete Dillon on Cravings on Joy 94.9.
Well, good afternoon, Melbourne. You're on Joy 94.9, and this is indeed Cravings, the food and wine show of Joy. Now, this afternoon, we have our special guest, Mr. Sam Crum, in the studio. Sam, could you tell us a little bit about that track that we just played?
That's Savina Yannatou, who's a Greek singer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a song from Thessaloniki in northern Greece, and it's from the...
That's where most of the Melburnians are from, isn't it?
Yes.
Thessaloniki, yes.
Yes, it is.
Explains Brunswick.
Yes, it does. And it's a song from the Sephardic Jewish community.
Mm.
And it is a song about a singer, about a wedding singer, and how he does his...
Oh, Adam Sandler.
Yeah, well, yes, the Sephardic equivalent thereof. And, you know...
Because he's the Ashkenazi equivalent.
Yeah, food you'll never eat so well as at a Greek wedding.
Okay, really? Talk to us about that.
You were in Greece in 2015, weren't you, for a little bit of a holiday?
That was, we had 4 days in Thessaloniki, mm-hmm. in a little town called Olympiada, which you could not find with 3 maps and a guide.
No, but if you have a goat and a caper bush, you're fine.
And a friend who has a house there.
Lovely.
That's what you need.
Yes. Did you get there, though?
Ish. Eventually. But it was our first experience in Greece together eating Greek food.
Mm.
But that
so you had to share?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
And it wasn't easy.
Are you not partial to sharing food?
No.
You don't like people touching plates and then retouching plates? Is that it? Or
I'm fine with it.
We just want it all.
But when you're eating something for the first time and you're having an emotional response to it, you get very protective of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sam does anyway. Some people say, here, try some. Sam says, get the fuck away.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Sam. I don't want someone's fork coming across the table and saying, oh, I must try that.
But I'm used to that from home. I mean, we call it Jewish ping pong. You know, there's no asking, you know, suddenly, you know, there is a relative with their fork on your plate saying, I'm just going to try that. And that's it. But, you know, when you're trying feta soaked in honey, wrapped in phyllo with pomegranate syrup for the first time, and you've nearly fainted.
Yes.
And your beloved says, can I try it? You know, the fork ends up in the hand. It's like, back off. Get your own serving.
Now, is your beloved the sort of person that would then turn around and order something, and then the minute that you get yours, he turns around and says, oh, dang, I wish I'd got that.
Yeah, I said, yours is better.
Yeah.
Well, send yours back and get one of your damn own.
That's right.
I'm ring-fencing this dish.
But, no, we were the... First experience of eating Greek food in Greece. It's as life-changing as Italy.
So you were talking before about the Sephardic Jewish community and how they had relocated to Greece. Was this...
That song, was it, that track?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Were you in Greece for anything to do with the Sephardic community? Or was this Sephardic food, or was this more Greek food, traditional Greek?
Sadly, there isn't a community anymore. That
right.
was possibly one of the worst decimated... Populations.
30s?
Late in the 40s.
Ah, okay.
One of the worst. There's very, very little left.
Oh, that's a shame.
Were
they around Athens or Thessaloniki?
Thessaloniki.
Right.
Further north.
Shame.
But, no, we were there. My partner was performing.
Right. Okay.
At a spectacular
And explain
party.
What you're... Yeah, and he's a
jazz singer.
Jazz singer. Mm.
So, luckily, I get to go along on some of the more fancy-schmancy engagements.
Right, and this obviously was.
We tacked on 3 days for ourselves at the end of it, and did not want to leave.
So, going back to the reason why you're our guest today, Mr. Crum, you are a... Is it fair enough to say impresario, or is that a wanky term? Or is it completely inaccurate?
I think it overstates it slightly. I think an impresario is responsible for staging things and getting people together and...
So you're an...
Yeah, I help the impresario.
Right, okay. So you work in the opera world.
Yeah, opera, music, musicals, increasingly.
Okay. Yeah, so which is a very refined world of artists. And you get to travel around the world.
I am on occasion
lucky
enough to go and meet with leading promoters, opera companies, orchestras, and then see the performances.
And food and wine becomes a part of that experience.
Well, you have to eat before the show.
Yeah, you do. But it's also...
You can't sit through a Wagner opera on no food.
I'm no, absolutely... Wagner, you need carbs and vodka.
And heroin, depending on the production.
Now
chewable morphine, I think.
Managed to survive The Ring fairly drug-free last year, the year before, 2014.
Well, you're always on a natural high, though.
I saw Wagner at Bayreuth in an unair-conditioned theatre in the middle of a Bavarian summer.
Oh, Did they have beer on tap to the seat?
No, but the first thing you get at the interval when you see is a beer and bratwurst stand.
I bet, yeah. Yes. And you just put your head in the ice?
Oh, well, it's and everyone's in the formalist of formal wear.
Of course,
in
yes. It's
and German, they're schwitzing. Yeah.
And totally geschwitzt. Hmm. And
for our guests who don't understand...
Sweating.
Yes. Sweating, yes. And it is an air-conditioned, unair-conditioned wooden... Their version of air conditioning is in the interval, which is 90 minutes.
Did Shakespeare have something to do with it? Did he maybe build
it?
Well,
that was open air. You know, they hose the roof. That's their version of air conditioning.
Okay, so we're in a sauna.
You're in a sauna watching an opera.
That, Wagner.
You know, you have a birthday in the middle of this. I mean, that's how long it is.
Yeah. I went to Fliegen der Holländer on the floating stage.
Oh, that's short.
And that was enough.
Yeah, that's 2.5 hours.
So what did you eat prior to this performance? That's what we were dying to find out.
I went Bayreuth as a town is, you know, like Switzerland. It's a postage stamp. There is no alternative to German food. In this is the most German town I've ever been to. So I'm afraid it was bratwurst.
Was it a good bratwurst?
It wasn't bad.
Okay.
I'm not such a fan of that.
It's very heavy, isn't it? It just kind of sits.
That's not what I want before a long show.
No, it just sort of sits here and...
You know, I eat what the singers eat before a long show. If
which
I have
is?
A choice. Protein, a bit of no carbs, chicken breast, bit of salad.
Yeah, poached egg on toast.
Yeah. Perfect. And mineral water, preferably... no booze. And
yes.
That, because any carbs, booze, I'm asleep in Act One. So I've learned that.
That must be my problem when I go to the ballet then.
No, maybe it's the ballet.
Shh, don't say that.
I didn't say that.
Okay.
I was wondering about that, actually. Sorry to butt in.
Please come on, Russ.
We don't want the ballet community to get cranky with us.
Sorry to butt in. I mean,
they'd both be very angry.
I went and saw Georgie Girl at the musical theatre.
That's not ballet.
It's not ballet, but, you know, for a change, in the middle of the week, if I go and see a show and I've just had dinner, I will pass out during the, you know, during the first act. And we simply, you know, sat around and had a coffee and got stuck into, you know, other things and really enjoyed Georgie Girl. So don't eat before the show is the message. Is that right?
Yeah.
Eat light.
Eat light.
Eat light. Right. Eat earlier if you can.
I can't even remember Les Mis.
Yeah, but the people who stayed awake can't remember it either.
No, they can't.
It was another revolution.
Oh, was it? Okay, all right. Back to food. Back to food.
Mis.
It's coming. Is it coming again?
Let them eat brioche.
Yeah, indeed.
If you've got any feedback, and we just have had some feedback from TAS, we're going to talk about that after the break, let us know. You can SMS us 0427 joy949 or email onair@joy.org.au. This is Cravings on Joy 94.9.
Bonjour, I am Gabriel Gatte. You are listening to Cravings with Peter Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good afternoon. You are indeed listening to the gayest station in the nation. This is Joy 94.9 and you're listening to Cravings, the food and wine show. Pete Dillon sends his apologies. He's travelling north as we speak, but that's okay because the Escape Pod crew is holding the fort here in the Cravings studio. And our special guest, Sam Crum. Sam, tell us about that amazing track. And also, we need to backtrack a little bit and just confirm
I need to
what
apologize
the previous
to the Greek
was.
Community of Melbourne.
Yes, quick.
Complaining. Quick. Look, the Greek track.
Which was our first track.
Which was the first track, the Savina Yannatou song, is a Greek singer. She was not singing in Greek. She was singing in Ladino, which is the language spoken by the Sephardic community in that part of Greece. and that's actually one of the few places you'll still hear the language.
So let's just go over. So the Sephardic community speak Ladino. The Ashkenazi community speak Yiddish.
Yeah, Yiddish or the language of wherever they're living at the time.
Correct. Yeah. So that's why it was not in Greek. But the singer was Greek.
But our last song, which we've all just sat also down from dancing in the studio, was not Greek at all. But it's got an interesting history.
That's an excerpt from The Passion According to San Marcos, which is a retelling of the Passion story, but by an Argentine composer who has given it a fantastic Latin, very funky twist. That's actually the section about Judas Iscariot and the Last Supper, and he's turned it into a salsa. So, in keeping with food...
It certainly has got a Latino twist, doesn't it? I love it.
Yeah, yep. Fantastic.
Beautiful. Funky. You do love your Latino twists, don't you?
Look, you know...
One in particular.
That Melbourne Latino community gets me going every time, Marcus.
I can see you tapping your foot. Blushing.
That was just excellent. We love your choice of music. It's something about having a person involved in the music world choosing the music.
Well, you know, both songs have been absolutely fabulous. So, you know, Sam, we want you back for more, don't we?
Well, we do. Where are you going to be this year? What's on the agenda?
What's on the menu?
Yes, what's on the menu?
At the moment, it's very fluid. We're not quite sure.
It's a liquid cocktails.
Yeah. We're planning to have a lot of cocktails this year. No, look, I usually go to New York at least once a year.
And when do you think you'll be in Manhattan?
We shall see. Probably around either Easter or towards the end of the year.
Ah, okay. All right. So it could be lovely weather or it could be chilly.
Yeah. When it's chilly, it is savage.
Yeah. April might be the time to go.
I think so. Prefer it. You can walk outside without slipping in the ice.
That's right.
Now, are we allowed to talk about your common interest, you two? Egyptian food? Is that something that that you can both tell us about with recent visits to the...
Well, I think so, seeing as we spent Christmas together.
I think so. I love Egypt as a country. It's personally one of my favourite destinations in the world. And the food there is to die for. It really is, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this was our first time travelling together.
We're still here.
We're still speaking.
We didn't even have a tiff, did we?
Not really. I don't think we had time.
No, and I certainly didn't have a moment to think about it because front seat in the Uber with Cairo traffic. No.
And no seatbelts. Because they'd sold them.
And no.
I love all the drivers that are on their mobile phones constantly in Cairo. It's sort of like,
oh, yeah, okay, everyone's on their phone.
Just put that down and
no,
get
no,
me
it's
to
the
be.
Carrying on the conversation with another driver in another car two lanes away that I personally find a little more disturbing.
Yeah. And they're talking about where they're going to eat.
Yeah, well, they should because the only thing doing business successfully in Egypt at the moment is restaurants and clubs and bars.
Right. Mm. Are they doing well?
Yes.
It's about time to launch a lipstick was my version too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the next thing that'll sell.
All right.
People are not happy, are they?
No.
Oh, yeah. You need a Kyrene
They
red.
Need release, yeah. You know, okay. And they're looking for it in
all
their,
over their lips.
Hospitality and their entertainment.
And poorly made cocktails.
Yeah, please don't go there.
We did struggle in that.
Okay, talk about cocktails in Cairo, because Kyrene cocktails are...
They don't have an ice machine. That's basically the problem.
It was a cocktail cock-up. I mean...
This no poor, Tom this Cruise poor, flaring, poor woman. Flaming behind a counter.
Oh, this poor woman on my left here. I mean, I thought she was... Just,
in Radioland, that's Joe.
That's Joe.
Not Russ.
Well, yeah. Sorry. That would be the woman on my right. You know, at one point I thought she was going to take hostages in one of the... We won't name the venue.
I can imagine.
Joe, what had your lemon in a twist over these cocktails?
Well, a martini is such... A simple drink. Really.
But we're in a country
It only has three ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and...
We're in a country where people aren't big...
But we had all three ingredients right there. We just didn't...
Were you about to launch yourself over a bar and...
I
do a Cape Town to Cairo.
Finally, she did have to take the matter in hand.
I did, and I shared with them a very good app from mm-hmm. my friend Jim Meehan, from Please Don't Tell in New York City, where Sam's going to be later this year. And we shared the app. The food and beverage manager downloaded it, agreed that it was probably the best kind of training they'd ever had, and then shared that with the bartenders behind the bar, and from then on, the drinks really improved.
So do you think that the bartenders in Cairo were basically people who just don't drink or have an appetite for alcohol, in a situation of service?
I think
that's one of the
Were they
issues.
Coptic Christians, or were they probably Muslim?
Look, it's not a question I open with
no.
when I'm there.
No, well, not, if someone behind a counter's name tag says Muhammad, you're probably
no. We did see nary a name tag.
Oh, okay.
Not big on the name tag.
Because where you would be in Cairo, there is a very large Coptic Christian community, and they're very well represented in places like Ma'adi.
10%.
Yeah, so but particularly in places like Ma'adi or Zamalek, which is very international. I mean, these are really...
We spend most of our time in Mali and Zamalek.
Right. So these are very international parts. Cairo is a huge city, and it's got a phenomenal history of integration with Europe and the rest of Africa and Middle East. It's an incredible...
They just need an ice machine.
They didn't have where you were, I'm hearing.
A hard ice machine, you know, so that you can make cocktails with. Because their real problem was that dilution was taking place and measuring was a little bit, you know, has loosey-goosey, yes.
Yeah, because when I was staying in Cairo, when I was working there, we were staying at the JW Marriott, and that was, everything was just like a JW Marriott, like anywhere else in the world.
I think
the service of the bar was excellent.
But there's also the issue of the lack of tourists. So when Sam's partner performed on Christmas Eve at the Intercontinental, I was talking to the marketing manager there, and she mentioned that for 2015, their occupancy rate, the average, was 50%.
So food and beverage must be suffering for that.
Well, it's suffering from the tourists. So the tourists aren't bringing in those extra dollars that you can then buy your expensive ingredients with.
And staff.
So everything is being cut down, and you know, obviously refurbishments will be being delayed. There's a whole lot, because this has been going on since 2011. Mm-hmm. So there's just an awful lot of, you know, domino effect starting to happen.
So is it fair to say Cairene foodies, the people that make a difference behind bars and in kitchens, are they heading off to Europe or greener pastures?
It's quite possible that there's been an exodus. I think particularly from the tourism
again,
sector.
Egypt exodus.
Yeah,
40 years they're going to be wandering that desert.
It's just a
longer trip to Canada.
But the food is gorgeous. Yeah. I mean, that's not to take away from the fact that the food in Cairo is stunning.
Let's talk about day-to-day food in Cairo.
Well, as a matter of fact, I've Googled the top five
dishes
in Cairo, but we have to go to a break. So maybe
we'll come back and talk about the top five Cairene dishes. What's nom nom in Egypt?
Well,
you're on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 has a huge range of programs available for podcast. In fact, Joy is one of the largest podcasting communities on community radio. If you haven't checked out our podcasting service, you're missing out. Visit joy.org.au, click on the podcast tab, and you'll find a list of Joy programs regularly sharing the best interviews, news and reviews. There's tens of thousands of hours for you to enjoy, so check it out now, joy.org.au.
This is Cravings. Pete Dillon's currently abroad. It's now being co-hosted beautifully and masterfully by the team from Escape Pod. This isn't actually the news. But if you want some news, we can make some up.
We
definitely
can.
A whole bunch of stuff happens.
To the Joy website, there'll be some
It's
news.
20 degrees outside today. It's a gorgeous day. The time is 1:46.
Or 14 minutes to 2.
Russ from Escape Pod just pressed the news button. Oopsies. And now we're back to Joe,
Crisis
who's
averted.
Going to talk about Cravings.
Welcome back to Food and Wine. Sam, what was that last track that you chose?
That was a track by a Paris-based ensemble called L'Arpeggiata, who have come to Melbourne a couple of times. They are just sensational. The Brandenburg Orchestra frequently works with them when they can. They're a fantastic group.
So you'll often find them at the Melbourne Recital Centre.
And
great building.
Gorgeous.
And great places to eat around there.
There are. So that was a tarantella, and it was about food. I'm trying to...
All of these tracks have been food-based, haven't they, today?
I did my best.
You did your best.
I did my best.
How is this one speaking to food?
A tarantella and tarantula, the spider, have the same
etymology. So think of Dean Martin's songs.
Yeah. So a tarantella,
the
point
pie.
Of the dance is
Big
to...
Pizza pie.
When you dance and you sing, you ward off the bad effects of a spider bite.
Oh.
And that song is a warding off of evil, but evil takes the form in that song of a sparrow that will eat all the family's oats and a cat that would eat all the family's cakes.
It's a shame the cat didn't eat the sparrow.
Exactly.
Yeah, they missed a trick there.
It's a
they
vegan
did.
Cat.
They did. They missed an opportunity. But we have Sam Crum in the Craving Studio today, who is an international opera agent, and he does get to go around the world and dine in some pretty fabulous places. You've got New York on the list. Mm-hmm. You're home in Melbourne. What is it that you love to come home to Melbourne for in terms of cooking and food?
this is going to sound cliched, but Lygon Street Italian food.
Really?
Really?
Outside of Italy, I've never eaten such stunning Italian food as in...
And what's your favourite go-to joint?
Of late...
Or dish.
I couldn't pick a dish. Just couldn't do it. Lately,
you had a couple of favourite joints?
Scopri. I'm not a paid spokesperson, but just a little bit outside Lygon Street, not in the main stretch.
Is it on Rathdown? No, yeah. Oh, sorry.
Nicholson.
Nicholson, sorry. Yeah.
If you haven't been, go.
Okay.
There we go. That's the word from Sam on Melbourne Food.
And Sam,
make reservations.
While we talk about your favourites, Russ was mentioning just before the break, there were some five favourite dishes for Kyrenes in Egypt, which was topical today. What were those five, Russ?
Absolutely. So Mr. Google tells us that the five top dishes for Egypt at the moment are stuffed pigeon.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. We can attest to that.
You can attest to that.
And we want to talk about the stuffed pigeons back in a minute.
A street food called koshari.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. Falafel.
Yeah.
An oldie bit of goodie. Sugar cane juice.
Yeah.
Time of year for us. It was winter.
We were there at the bad time.
Okay. And then a dish called full...
Madamas.
You've got it.
Madamas.
Yes.
You've got it.
Which
beans.
Is... Yeah.
Baked beans. Arab baked beans.
Mm, yeah. Like a dip, isn't it? Full?
Yeah.
Full is like a
no,
dip.
No, it's looser. The beans are still whole and it's a bit more of a sauce rather than
like a bean salsa.
We did.
Yes.
So they're the top five Egyptian
fresh parsley on top.
Egyptian dishes.
Yeah.
And they sound gorgeous. Absolutely.
The only thing that got any sugar cane while we were there were the camels that lived next to the hotel we stayed in.
Speaking of which, you ordered chicken Kiev when we were at a restaurant in Luxor. I nearly fell off my chair.
It was sheer curiosity.
You can only have so many falafels, Joe.
There's only one of us who's a pussycat here, and that's definitely Sam, because curiosity, my goodness, I was thinking the whole restaurant was like, it took me back to before I was born, 1960-something.
It was extraordinary.
It
really
was, wasn't this, it? The menu was, it's called the Red Lantern, and yes. It's in Luxor, and it's run by this amazing lady.
Fantastic British woman.
Yeah.
Debbie.
Yes, Debbie.
Is it a Chinese restaurant with a name like Red Lantern?
About half and half British, pure British cuisine.
Right.
Arabic, Egyptian.
Yeah, and her husband
and then a Russian
is Egyptian.
Dish thrown in.
Which makes sense for you because you live in London, really. So, you know,
but
what more could you ask
Kiev
for?
But I think chicken Kiev is really almost a French
Ukrainian.
English.
It's French. It's a French dish cooked in Russia, served in England. You know.
And you just loved it. You ate the whole lot, didn't you?
I needed a break from Egyptian food.
Well, I want to hear more about this stuffed pigeon.
Yeah.
Oh. I haven't had the...
Oh, well, it's really a way to flavour the rice. So the pigeon is actually stuffed with the wheat. Or a rice, and the Egyptian rice is quite stunning.
Oh.
And so what sort of weight is it, though?
It's
bulgur.
It's longer than the bulgur.
Mm. It's substantial.
Farak? Is it farak?
A farik.
Farik. Farik. So it's stuffed with the farik, and then the pigeon is completely...
Frika.
Frika. Blasted roasted, like absolutely crispy, crispy, crispy. And when you bite into it, there's almost no... meat,
yeah.
It's just the actual frika that's been, that's absorbed the flavours of the pigeon.
Awesome.
It's stunning. And you have to eat it with your hands.
And apparently the broth that comes with it is to die for as well. Is
absolutely.
That
really yummy. You will not starve in Cairo at all.
No.
And everything is very familiar to those of us from Melbourne who dine out with Lebanese or Turkish or Greek friends. It's just
wonderful.
A slightly different pronunciation. So baba ganoush becomes baba ganou.
Yeah.
And tabbouleh becomes
tabla. Yeah.
So it's all very, you can really.
We drove
Egyptians
2 hours
in. Particular accent.
We drove 2 hours into the desert, into the dunes, and a Bedouin family came from the other direction and just cooked us this extraordinary meal.
How so awesome. You
we
guys.
Were in a protected zone of the desert, which was just breathtaking.
And so what did they cook you?
Yes, exactly.
The best rice I've ever eaten.
And chicken cooked on the coals that had been marinated.
They built a fire. They had brought their pre-marinated chicken. Stunning salad. It was the simplest but most wonderful food.
Now, is this like the new form of travel these days is just to do these? Have
with
this experience with families. And,
but it's good with Bedouins in
a
desert.
Or two. Yes.
It means you don't get lost.
But that was only possible for us because we were with the amazing Bob.
Yes.
Who knew who to call, who knew where to go. You know, it's not so easy for most tourists to have that experience.
Right.
We're so lucky.
Yep. And the food that they made was gorgeous, obviously.
It was. And the sand duning was amazing. Yeah.
See, I picture...
Because I'm a bit of a petrol head.
Well, I can't picture you, Joe. I can't picture Joe in a Jeep going up and down sand dunes and screaming out, you
dressed
know?
Like Jackie O.
Of course. Well, that I can imagine. That, okay, you've given me a picture now. I've got a vision.
Big hat, which I did take off to fit in the car. Big sunglasses. Wraps around here going, oh, goodness, we're at a 90-degree angle. Oh.
Going rather fast.
How fun is this? And Sam's in the back going, it's not fun anymore. It's not fun.
Stop the car, I need to put some lipstick on. Was that you?
No, not in Egypt. I kept a pale lip gloss, which Ruben found disturbing.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, your full-time job was keeping my brother out of an Egyptian prison.
It was, yes. We had an intervention order between Ruben Kay, who has been a guest on Joy 94.9.
And he's a big camp. Shall we call him a big camp?
Yes. Well, he wasn't allowed within two countries
of the
sequence.
Saying Mao Zedong was a bit naughty.
Although fabric shopping with him was an experience.
It was indeed, even though I did make him take off the lip gloss with the glitter. And he tried to tell me it was a chapstick, and I said, no, it wasn't.
Okay, so experiences in Egypt were fabulous, as was the food. Where is the next foodie destination
for you? You
said New
York.
Appears to be New York.
It's off to New York.
I think it'll be New York. Apparently. Although we are hoping this year to get to the Caribbean. We're working on it.
Okay, so
which
New York
island?
Is the place you've been to?
Martinique is the...
Martinique, okay. From New York? You're going to do it in one trip?
No, you do it from... No, it'll have to be a separate trip and it'll be from Paris.
Lovely.
So New York's a place you've been to?
No, it's a place I go to for work. I'll continue going there regularly.
Yeah. So what's on the menu when you hit New York City?
The most wonderfully insane fusion restaurants are popping up.
Talk about them.
One of my favourites is I'm not going to name names because I don't want to be preferential, but there's a fantastic... I hope it's still there. It was there a year ago. Spanish sushi.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's fantastic Spanish-Japanese fusion. I'm waiting for a sort of Greek-Thai restaurant called Zorba the Buddhist. But
you just want to do the Spotify playlist,
yeah.
Don't you?
But look, New York is never going to stop being the food capital of New York. It's just the number of new people who show up every day with a new idea.
And how creative.
But the increasingly more chains, sadly.
Well, that's Manhattan.
More gentrification. Yeah. You go to Astoria, you go to Queens, Brooklyn, to find really interesting stuff.
Have you ever had a Reuben?
Yeah, I can't finish. I cannot.
What about
finish.
The sandwich?
Like, we're talking Katz's Deli now, right?
Yeah. Cannot finish.
I love a Reuben.
But you can't. finish the sandwiches in New York.
I know, because they're
you have to share it.
No, they're one between two.
Well, they don't know the meaning of one slice of the next meat. Meal, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We're off to a break, folks.
Are we?
Yeah. All right. Joy 94.9.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ Community Radio Station, Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 949 in Cravings, and we've had a fun afternoon. It's been very kind of Mr. Pete Dillon to lend us his seat for the afternoon with Russ Masterton, Mark Adams, and our special guest in the studio today has been Sam Krum, who shared with us some real highlights of what it's like to travel through the year for work internationally and dine in some great foodie capitals.
Mm. 2 points for Sam. I love his choice of music.
Yep.
I am in love with those three songs. I must get them off you after we leave. And
you're not
I,
getting your USB stick back,
no,
is what that
no,
means.
No. And this passion for food, I love it. It's made me hungry.
Yeah. Well, stick around all afternoon on Joy 94.9. You've got another hour of this malarkey going on with Escape Pod. With the same lineup, but we've got some.
We're smooth operators.
We're Sade.
We are just about to get into the escape pods.
And we've got fantastic guests coming on to talk about what's happening at Midsummer Carnival tomorrow. Very excited about that. And hopefully Sam can stick around and talk to us about that. And we've got heaps of other things all afternoon. Joy 94.9 after Escape Pod. We've got Critical Hit, Cute with Hannah, Neon Lights, A Touch of Pink. Do not get off 94.9. This has been Escape Pod, wishing Pete and...
This has been Cravings.
This has been Cravings. We're about to go to Escape Pod.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.